I wanted to share that in conjunction with homecoming today because we today are going to celebrate the church. And when I say that with homecoming, I don't necessarily mean like celebrate Mountain View Baptist Church. What I mean with that, we're going to celebrate this entity that Jesus said He died for. Right? If you look in the Bible, you think about the church. The Bible makes it so clear that Jesus died for the church. I love the Southern Baptist Convention. Very thankful for it. But Jesus did not die for a denomination. Right? He died for the church. The Bible says He loved the church, gave Himself for the church. And the Bible also says that the church, the body of Christ, is a pillar in support of the truth. Now let me say, I don't care if government crumbles around us and if other entities and associations crumble around us, that's really not going to affect things too much. What's going to affect things tremendously is if the church crumbles, if the church gets away from truth. And right now in our land, it's just not the case that every single church stands on the truth. The church is supposed to be a pillar in support of the truth. And so what do I want to do today with homecoming? I want to celebrate the church. And of course, part of that is Mountain View Baptist Church. Now, in 21 years here at Mountain View, you may find this hard to believe, but because of how we've always done homecoming and revival, I have never preached on homecoming Sunday before. Never have. So this is either going to be an amen or it's going to be an old me. Right? It's always been a revival preacher that does or a Sunday morning with homecoming. And so I'm kind of putting 21 years worth into about 30 or so minutes right now. Here's the first trivia question. You ready? Some of y'all know this and some of you do not. But I think it's kind of neat. Mountain View Baptist Church was founded and constituted in 1895. Now I did the math. And I ran out of fingers and toes. It got really difficult. But I did the math, and I went to a calculator, and I went 2025, 1895, and I don't know if you realize this, this year March, now listen to this, this year March, we're thinking about homecoming right now, this year marks 130 years that this place called Mountain View Baptist Church has been here in King George County. And so some of y'all are saying, all right now, preacher, you've never preached on Homecoming Sunday. Don't mess it up this year. Don't mess it up this year. 130 years that this place has been here called Mountain View Baptist Church. Now, for a lot of people that think about church, and you may have heard this before, that for some people on this earth, they only are ever in a church building three times. When they're hatched, when they're matched, and when they're dispatched. And you know what? You know what? You think about it now. For two of those three times, you don't even remember it. So for a lot of people across our land, church is not a big deal anymore. But here, the Mountain View Baptist Church, we thank God for the history of this church. We celebrate today 130 years that God has worked here. And so let me tell you what I did for fun. I probably shouldn't have, but just for fun. None of y'all were here in 1895. Am I right? I think that's correct. I think that's right. You're so 130 years old. So when I first came to the church in 2004, I was given, just so I could get to know y'all crazy people, I was given some directories. Listen, I've got one here from 1985. I've got one here from, I'm guessing about 1990 based on some research I did. I've got one from 2002, right before I got here. And then we did one in 2016. And then we did a new one about 2022, 2023. All those small ones that you see there in the back. And so if y'all, like this is for fun. It's homecoming. You ought to, some of y'all have been here a long time. You ought to look through these bad boys. Because it might, hey, wait till after you eat. Probably, but you want to look through these, and some of y'all, listen, you have been here, you've been part of a pillar in support of the truth of this place called Mountain View Baptist Church. You were a bit younger in these pictures, as we all were, but I want today to celebrate this thing called Mountain View Baptist Church. And I just looked these up and I thought that was kind of neat. So here's what I want to do. We're going to look today at a passage, and this is going to take us to the book of Matthew. I want you to turn there to Matthew in chapter 16. And trivia question number two, not only when was the church founded, 1895, trivia question number two, when in the Bible is the word church first found? Well, the answer is in Matthew chapter 16. So I want to look today, and it's just two really quick little points about the church. And I want to look today at the very first time that the word church is found in the Bible. We know that Jesus lived, He died, He was buried, He was raised. We read about His life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Matthew, as Jesus is speaking, He uses the word church. Now, if you look in verse 13, I want to start there today, just a little bit here. The Bible says He came to a place called Caesarea Philippi. If you were to go to your Bible map, find the Sea of Galilee there in the north part of Israel and go a little bit further north, you'd find a place called Caesarea Philippi. And the Bible says He's moving toward that area. And as He is there, He asks the question of those who are following Him. And His question is this: whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a good question. Or this may be the very first poll. Gallup wasn't around then. Maybe the very first poll ever taken among a public is, who do people say that I am? Now, we get the response in verse 14. And they speak and they say, well, some are saying that you are John the Baptist. Okay, others are saying that maybe you are Elijah that's come back from the dead. Others are saying that you are Jeremiah or one of the Old Testament prophets. But then in verse 15, if I can say it this way, in that verse, Jesus plows a little closer to the corn. And here's what He says. Others may say different things about me, but here's my question. What do you say about me? Okay? My closest followers, what do y'all say about me? Who am I? And so Peter, the one we love so much, opens his mouth to speak first in verse 16. And Peter says, here's the answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what? Peter got an A. He got a 100% A plus that day when he gave that answer. And Jesus says, Peter, big boy, I want to tell you something. You didn't come up with that on your own. You're blessed for saying that, Simon. But it wasn't your flesh and blood that revealed that to you. It was my Father, which is in heaven. Now here's a statement. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Now what is Jesus going to do with that? I tell you what He's going to do with that. On that statement and that rock solid convictional faith of this apostle, Jesus is going to build something. And what He says in verse 18 is, on this statement, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. The very first time the word church is ever found in the Bible, in the New Testament, is in verse 18, where Jesus says, I will build my church. So He says to Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And when I build my church, last time I checked, when God constructs something, you can't deconstruct it. And when I'm going to build my church, He says, the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against my church. Homecoming 2025. Let's celebrate the church. And I want to think about it in two ways today that are very encouraging for us here as a local church. Number one, when Jesus speaks about the church, He speaks about a very, very solid foundation or a solid footing. So I want you to see how He does that. He starts off in speaking to Peter in this verse and says, just as you have correctly proclaimed who I am, I'm going to say who you are. You are Peter. Now, you know in the New Testament, Peter kind of carries two names. Sometimes he's recognized as Simon or Simon Peter. In the Aramaic, he is addressed as Cephas. That's the word for rock or stone. And in Greek, he's known as Peter. Now, Jesus says, you are Peter. And upon this rock, which I know is hard to see in the English, but there is a crazy wordplay going on in Jesus' response. The word for Peter and the word for rock are the exact same word in Greek. Now, if you care, and you probably don't, let me give you the difference here. In English language, we don't really have endings for words, like a masculine ending, a feminine ending, or a neuter ending, but in Greek, they do. A lot of languages have endings like that with their language. And so in the Greek language, there are different endings. So what happens is, in verse 18, the first word, Peter, is actually the masculine form that speaks of a stone. The word for rock is the feminine form that speaks of a massive rock or a foundation stone. Here's what Jesus does. He goes into a wordplay with Peter's name. Peter, you are a solid dude. You're a stone, right? I mean, that's what your name means. You're the man. But Peter, there's going to be a massive foundational stone on which I'm going to build my church. Now, I want you to notice what he does with the foundation for the church. Peter talks and he addresses him as Peter, but it is upon this rock. Now, I will tell you, if you're interested in studying this, there is so much discussion as to what is this rock Jesus is talking about here. And I'll tell you really, really quick, if you study down through the ages with history and church history, some have taken the statement of the rock here and they have equated it with Peter. And there are traditions that teach that Peter was the very first bishop of Rome and thus became the very first pope for the Roman Catholic Church. And to this day, every single pope is descended directly from Peter based on the statement in Matthew chapter 16. Now, I'm going to argue that's reading a little bit too much into the text here. And I don't know for sure that's what Peter is talking about. But what he does do with the different words for the Peter and before the rock here, he says, upon this solid foundation, which might be his statement in verse 16, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, based on that foundational truth, and with Peter as an early leader in the church, I'm going to build my church. And I'll throw this out there too for fun. Not many people think about this. This is the year 2025. In 5 years, the church will be 2,000 years old. In Acts chapter 2, the church became an official functioning entity. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, gave birth to the church in about the year 30. So in 2030, the church, right, the body of Christ will be about 2,000 years old. And it says here in this verse, upon this statement of faith, upon the leadership of Peter, I will build then my church. Now here's a question with the word church. What does the word church mean? Okay, if you were to go again to your Greek New Testament, you would see some crazy ugly word called ekklesia. It means out of, I call you. That's what it means literally, okay? So the church is a group of folks that God has called out from the world to live on purpose and on mission for Him. Now, in the first century, the word ecclesia was used for any assembly of people. It could be a legislative body. It could be Christians gathering. So what Peter does, what Jesus does, is says, just like y'all are accustomed to gatherings of people, I'm going to form a gathering of my people. So here's a question I've got. How do you define the church, and how do you define a local church? Because it's not very easy. So I'm going to borrow from Dr. Kenneth Hemphill. He was president of Southwestern Seminary some years ago, and he puts it this way with the church. He says that the church is a covenant community of born-again believers. They are accountable to Christ, and they are designed for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Okay, among that assembly, that covenanted assembly of born-again believers, it is there where we observe things called the ordinances, right? Baptism last Sunday, Lord's Supper this Sunday coming up. It is in that gathering of believers that we exercise spiritual gifts. Okay, this is the church. And so I think Dr. Hemphill is not too far off here. A covenant community born again to fulfill the Great Commission. Now don't miss something here. And the church is not the building, all right? The church is the people. It's born-again believers. So I want you to think about it this way. I've said it before. When you think about the church and who we are, on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, we gather for events and Bible study and discipleship. We are the church gathered. When you leave this place today, you become the church scattered, right? The church does not only exist when we're inside of the four walls of a building. The church is always there, whether it's scattered around or gathered together. It is the church. It is a body of Christ, born again believers. We exercise spiritual gifts and we do our part to fulfill the Great Commission. Now let me share something about Mountain View Baptist Church in this context. Like I said, for 21 years I've had to listen to others preach on homecoming. So I get to share some things today here at the church. I want to share something with you I'm really excited about. It's really neat. We think about what we're looking at here, the church being the like a sure footing or a solid footing. Earlier in September, to show you, like in Mountain View Baptist, 130 years we've been here. Early in September, I got an email from a lady who lives in Ohio. And I'm going to read to you that email, and I'll show you why I put this up in just a minute. She says, "Hello, I am reaching out about my uncle who is buried in your cemetery. He passed in 1937 at the age of 11. My grandfather, to my understanding, made the headstone and put my uncle Chess's marbles in it to hold his initials. I'm sure you will know this stone down in the back corner, and it is obelisk shaped. I live in Ohio. I brought my own adult children to see the cemetery and his grave back in July. You all do a wonderful job taking care of the plots and keeping it a lovely and peaceful place. I was always very moved by his story in passing so young. His stone only has partial marbles left, and it is hard to make out the initials even at this point. And what she wanted to know was, if I have some kind of a little plaque made, would that be okay to put it there in front of his stone?" So about a week or so ago, I wrote back to her and I said, "Absolutely." I said, "If you would like, I'll put it in the ground for you. I'll take a picture of it, send it to you." So she mailed a card and she mailed the little plaque, which you see here. I put it in, I think it was Wednesday this week. I don't know what day it was. Little plaque right in front of the obelisk. It's way in the back of the cemetery. His name, his date. And I know it's hard to see, but if you notice some marbles there, that was what they used to try to spell his initials. 11 years old when he died. So she wrote this note and she says, "Pastor Keith, we can't thank you enough for the help you've given us to make my uncle's earthly resting spot even nicer. We truly appreciate your help and gracious nature. It had long bothered me that the family lost him so young, and always moved by how my grandfather must have felt making that stone with such love and care at such a devastating time. As I grew up and being so far away, I thought I couldn't do much. Thank you for making this happen. You all do a lovely job with the care you give even after all this time. It's a beautiful place that's loved. You can tell it's still important, and we appreciate that. Thank you for your kindness, your generosity, and care for the church and its grounds. Sincerely, Letitia Humphreys and family." She puts in parentheses that her maiden name was Newton. So I don't know if any of you know Letitia Newton. I don't know if you do or not. But I want to share that today for a couple of reasons. Number one, it meant a lot to us as a church. And I took a picture. I took this picture. I emailed it back to her. She wrote to me yesterday. And she's like, "I cannot thank you enough for making this so special for our family." And she said, "We're back there. We always come to the cemetery and we visit his stone." So it really meant a lot to me. What I want to also say to us though here today, Jesus says about the church that has a solid footing. And I just want to thank you, right? I just want to thank you. 1895, do you realize that some churches that you get to a point where all of a sudden there are divisions and there is disunity and people are mad about this and mad about that, and it's hard to like maintain like a good solid church. And I just want you to know, I am so thankful for this place called Mountain View Baptist Church. After 21 years, I still ain't seen no mountains, but they tell me in 1895, you can look across the way and you can see the ridges there, the Blue Ridge Mountains. So whether they could or not, I don't really care. The point is, we have been here since 1895, a solid footing. Jesus said when it comes to his body, to his church, a local expression like we are, He said there, I'm going to build my church. And I just want you to know, I am thankful for Mountain View Baptist Church. And I pray and I hope that God uses this place, this family of believers, to make an impact, to grow us, to use us, to bless here. And may we be found anchored. Say it again, preacher. Okay, I will. May we be found anchored to the Bible. Okay, I told you before, our passions here at this church, I know every church is to love God and love people. Most of them lie, but they say it. But in Mountain View, listen to me, we're going to prioritize the Bible. We're going to prioritize God's Word. And when we say our GPS, we love God, love people, we want to honor God's Word. And we so hope God honors that and blesses here at this place called Mountain View Baptist Church. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. There is a solid, solid footing. Now let me give you number two real quick. And I promise it's going to be quick because I ain't got a whole lot left. And I know. But the Baptist bird is back there. It's crusty. It's smoking. It's ready to be consumed. And you know what I found out this morning? I'm just going to tell y'all. If somebody came to me and said, Pastor, can't stay today for the lunch because it's my birthday. My family going to go out to eat today. Sorry about that. I said, don't worry about it. I will take care of that. I'll eat enough for all three of y'all. You think it's a curse. It's a blessing, right? All right, never mind. All right, here we go. Solid footing. Now here we go, church. And there is a certain future. Oh, I like that. Look at the rest of verse 18. Oh, big boy Peter, upon your statement, upon you, you're going to be a leader in the church. Thank God for that. I'm going to build my church. Let me tell you something, Peter, and all y'all disciples gathered around. The gates of Hades, the gates of hell itself, shall not prevail or overpower the church. There is a certain definite future. Now, the Bible says in this translation, the gates of hell. Technically, again in the Greek, it is not the word hell. It is the word Hades, right? Hades is that place of the dead. It's the realm of the dead. Jesus says death is not going to conquer or prevail against the church. Even if death comes in and silences the preacher. Even if death comes in and silences the leaders of the church, if death comes in and silences things in the church, it is not going to overcome the church. There's a very certain future. And so Jesus says to Peter, I'm telling you, as y'all go out and evangelize, even the gates of Hades, the gates of hell itself, is not going to overcome God's church. I'm going to tell you, that's encouraging to me. Because I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when I see what's going on in the world around us, I mean, I'm just going to tell you, sometimes I truly feel like, Lord, we're a local church. I know we're smaller compared to some of them bigger places. Lord, we're just a little church here, a local church. And Lord, are we making any difference? I mean, can I just be honest, right? Are we making any difference out here in a road that few people can pronounce and none can spell? It happened this week. I forgot. I didn't tell y'all before, but the church van windshield has gotten shattered. A big branch fell through. There's glass everywhere. I called an insurance company a week ago. Ain't nobody called me back yet. You know the lady? No, seriously. I'm not kidding. Every time I call somebody, all right, give us your address. I said, here we go. It's going to be fun. I love it. I love having fun. I said, it's 6713 past Patanzi Drive. I'm just waiting. Sir, can you spell that? I said, okay, I've been here 21 years. I got it down. I said, few people can pronounce it. Nobody can spell it. You're one of them. It's okay. I spell it out. We're good to go. But sometimes, Lord, are we making a difference, right? Making a difference. Jesus said, now watch this. Jesus says, nothing is going to eliminate or prevent the church, God's family, a group of born-again believers. Nothing is going to get in the way of and overpower and conquer God's family evangelizing and fulfilling the Great Commission. I want you to think about it really quick and I'm going to be done. Do you know that if you go back and study the church history, okay, the church is founded about the year 30. Okay, we're 5 years from the 2000th anniversary of the church. If you go back and study the church's history, it should not have survived after the second or third century. Should have been done. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, inside of the church, there were people who did not believe the Bible. doctrinal perversion. Can you believe that? Even back in the 200s and 300s, they were meeting together in councils trying to discover what is truth, what is biblical, and what is not. They were doing that. Doctrinal perversion could have destroyed the church. Number two, persecution. Oh man, remember the book of Revelation? Second century, third century, the persecution was through the roof. The church should have been destroyed. You go back in history, you look at all the attacks, you look at the issues of confusion biblically, you look at persecution, you're like, you know what? Church should have been done. And then you remember, hold on, big boy Peter, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of Hades, of hell, shall not prevail against it. The church stands. And I'm going to tell you this. If the entire church, and I know there's going to be an apostasy and falling away, the Bible says that, as we get closer to the end of time, I know that's going to happen. But there's going to be a remnant, right? The church, a body of Christ, is going to stand. And God, may you make it so at Mountain View Baptist Church, we stand firm, loving truth, loving people, and trusting God to build and to grow and expand His church and His kingdom. God, if He would do that, I'd be so honored here at the church. Let me give you one last statement. Then we're going to be done. And then we got chicken. Are you patient? Are you patient? Vance Havner. Wow. What a preacher. Billy Graham said that Vance Havner was the most quoted preacher in America. And I'm going to give you one of his quotes about the church, and then we're going to be done with chicken on our brain. Here's what Vance Havner said. He said, don't ever come to church without coming as though it were the first time. As though it could be the best time, and as though it might be the last time. Wow. Confession time. Are y'all like me? Some Sundays I wake up and I don't think, you know what, Lord, this may be the best day we've ever had at church. I don't even think that way sometimes. I don't get up on, I mean, look, just confession, right? I'm not Catholic. Just going to confess to y'all. Sometimes, I'm going to tell you, I don't think I come to church on Sunday to Sunday and think, you know, this is my first time going to a church to see what it's like. But I also will say, when I leave here on Sunday mornings, it never crosses my mind. That may be the last church service that I'm going to be a part of. Jesus loved the church. He died for the church. We are thankful for the church. And we do pray for God to be pleased with us, to bless here. And so on the 130th anniversary of Mountain View Baptist Church, my first time ever being able to share anything on a homecoming Sunday, I hope it is encouraging to you to know that Jesus says there's a solid footing and there is a certain future. That is the church. Let's bow as we pray, as we go into an invitational time, and we'll also pray for God's blessings on our meal and our fellowship time as well. So as we bow together this morning, give you the opportunity before we go to pray, to kneel at the altar area as you feel led, to pray as you feel led, whatever the case may be, whatever needs may be in your life. Maybe just a word of thanksgiving for the church, the body of Christ. Whatever your need is, your concerns are, take advantage of the time right now to lift those up in prayer. And then just in case you're here without Christ, you see that word there that Jesus says, the gates of Hades, of death. Some say the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can I just ask you a question? This is going to be point blank here. I'm sorry. But are you going to heaven or hell? I mean, that's the truth. Are you going to heaven or hell? Do you know Christ as your Savior or do you not? Homecoming 2025, Mountain View Baptist Church. I truly can't think of a better time than right now for you to take advantage of the opportunity, the invitation, Holy Spirit convicting your heart You can feel it there in your heart. You feel the nervousness rising up within. You're thinking through it. You're concerned about it. You're a little bit worried about it. And it may be God has brought you here today just so you can hear and have the opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ and be saved today, to be born again today, to know you've got a home in heaven when you die. Because listen, I'm not trying to scare you, but Vance Havner, he's right. It may be the last time you're in a church service. And I said earlier, for a lot of people, they're in church when they're dispatched, when they die, but you won't remember it. You're gone. So maybe today God is extending to you another opportunity to turn to Him, to receive His Son, to put your faith in Christ, to become a child of God. And if that is the case, it's a simple prayer from your heart where you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm putting my faith in Him, accepting Him as my Savior, committing my life to Him. It's a prayer that simple. But the prayer doesn't save you. It's faith that saves you. It's your trust in the person of Christ. And so that may be, well, you need to pray this morning. And if so, I hope at the end of our service, you'll come up to me and just tell me, say, hey, I want you to know at the end of the service, I just prayed and turned to Christ today and got saved. So I'm going to be quiet. We'll think, reflect, pray, respond. I'll close this prayer time. And then we're going to line up and have a sweet time of fellowship with our meal. Father, as we wrap up our service time today, oh, how we thank You for the promise Jesus made that He would build His church. He would build the universal body of Christ, every believer whose faith would be in the person and work of Christ on the cross and through that empty tomb. We thank You for this place called Mountain View Baptist Church that in 1895 You put it on the heart of some individuals not to construct a building, but to start a local church. Some people born again who would meet together for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission, to observe the ordinances, to exercise spiritual giftedness. And here we are 130 years later, and we're still at this place. How we thank You for that. And God, I'm not trying to be selfish here, but we're asking today, hopefully there's something that's pleasing to You here at this place called Mountain View Baptist Church. That You'd put Your hand upon this place. That You would use us to reach people who are lost. Lord, we're not after numbers. That's fine if more people come. But God, You would use us to make a difference through backpacks. That You'd use us to make a difference through our giving with Vision Virginia. That You would use us to make a difference at a fall festival, manning a table and handing out information about a local church. Lord, we pray that You'd be pleased with this place called Mountain View Baptist Church, and we would have Your blessings upon it as we move on from this day into the future. Thank You for the food we are about to enjoy. Thank You for Kim and so many others who have prepared and organized and got everything ready for us to be able to sit down, to fellowship together, laugh together, talk together, enjoy this food together. I pray You'd bless our gathering, our fellowship, the food to these bodies You have made. And as we leave this place today, may we leave knowing, my goodness, how good it was to be in church today. Lord, we love You, and we lift up our prayer for Your blessing upon our time together, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.